Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. You're listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning. And listen, during the month of September, these programs are being brought to you by Good News Christian Ministries and the generous support of the Upper Room Home Furnishings, 2670 Queensview Drive, right here in Ottawa. And if you don't know this, this show is all done by volunteers. We're completely and utterly dependent upon the prayer and financial support of our listeners. And if you can help in any way, please do so. And we're very grateful to the Upper Room Home Furnishings for their both prayerful and financial support at this time. My name is George Sinclair. I'm the pastor of Church of the Messiah here in Ottawa. And our show is going to begin today by listening to the Rend Collective sing "Christ Has Set Me Free."
You open horizons in my life of limitless and cloudless hope. You defy the gravity in me and give wings to my flightlessness. Oh, Christ has set me free from negativity, from impossibility. Oh, Christ has set me free. All hope has been released. Oh, Christ has set me free. You have taught my future how to shine. All the colors of eternity. Given my soul the space to breathe and discover what it is to simply be. Oh, Christ has set me free from negativity, from impossibility. Oh, Christ has set me free. All hope has been released. Oh,
good morning again. You're listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning, put on by Good News Christian Ministries. And if you want to know more about this ministry and hear past shows, just Google Good News Christian Ministries and you'll get there. My name is George Sinclair. I'm the pastor of Church of the Messiah in Ottawa, and it's my honor and my privilege to open the Bible with you and talk to you about Jesus. And listen, today, sort of our opening question is, why is it, George, that last Sunday, maybe you didn't listen last Sunday, that's fine if you didn't, why is it that you're saying we can only call God Father? If God is infinite, then why, how could any word be adequate for God if God is infinite? And on the other hand, why are some words better than others? So, George, why are you saying that? It was very, very simple. We're going to look at the only time in the Gospels where somebody says to Jesus, "Jesus, could you please teach us to pray?" only one time in all the Gospels where somebody asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And it's found in Luke chapter 11, 1 to 4. And we're going to look at that text again today. And here's how it begins. Luke 11, 1 to 4. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And today we're going to look at those sort of those first three parts of the prayer, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And before we look at that and sort of address the question about how any word can be adequate and why the word Father rather than other words, we're going to listen to some more music. We're going to listen to Stuart Townend. He's going to sing Jesus is Lord. Again. We've been looking at Luke. We're going to look today at Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, the only time in the Gospels where somebody asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And in particular, we're really just looking at verse 2 today, and that is, and Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, here's the first big takeaway for us this morning, and it's this. Dad, and we'll talk about that again in a moment, or the Father, will reveal himself as God in all his uniqueness and all his glory. God will reveal him, that Dad or the Father will reveal himself as God in all his uniqueness and all his glory. In the original language, I have to confess that it's only been very recently that I sort of, it really struck me. Now, part of it is that throughout the years as a pastor, when I've talked about prayer, I've usually used the Matthew's Lord's Prayer. I've talked on the Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer many, many times. But this is actually the first time in my church and in some other context I've been preaching on Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. And it's the first time I've really talked about these verses and just really looked at them very closely, not sort of looking at Matthew and Luke together, but just Luke. And it's also the first time that I really got struck by the grammar. For you grammar geeks, there's a very important grammatical point in this sense, in that there's something in the original language which is not captured in English, but it's there in the original language. See, what I've normally taken when I've prayed this prayer is that when it says, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come," that in some ways I'm talking about hallowing God with my language, and I'm talking about, in a sense, sort of acknowledging God's kingdom or trying to be part of God's kingdom, and there's a sense within which that's important in this text. But the text actually is telling us that God will reveal himself. And the word name here is a word that is used in that time, in that period, to refer to the person as a person, with their attributes and who they are and their character and sort of their very, very, who they are. And so what the text is saying is not that it's about me hallowing God, but that God and only God will reveal himself at some time in the future in a way which is just massive. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie The Impossible. It's a movie that came out, about a year ago. It's based on a true story of a husband and wife and their three boys who are holidaying in Thailand when that terrible tsunami, which killed very, very many people in that part of the world, in Sri Lanka and on one end and Thailand on the other. And there was a very, very terrible tsunami that killed many people. And the movie The Impossible is about this family of tourists visiting a resort in Thailand. And the first 15, 20 minutes, or I don't know how long, of the movie, it's just, that the movie's about the tsunami hitting, but you see them coming, you see them seeing the resort and oohing and aahing and having a great time. And it's going on for a few minutes. And then I don't think I'm giving anything away in the plot, that it's very, very striking. All of a sudden, they're all enjoying themselves around the pool area, and then you see somebody's, their phone stops working. And then the very, very next thing is that the camera flashes to birds flying, a whole lot of birds flying away from the ocean. And then the camera lifts up from the pool and looks, and you see this huge, huge wave coming. And it comes over the beach and it hits the trees and it hits the resort. And this huge, huge wave. Friends, that's what Jesus is talking about in this text. And it's not only for hallowed be your name, but also for your kingdom come. In the original language, it is that God is going to do something in the future which is absolutely certain, and that God and no one else will, like a tsunami, make himself known in a way that is blindingly, inescapably obvious, and that God will reveal himself like a tsunami. And that's who we're talking to when we're talking to God. And in a sense, it's also saying that's for hallowed be your name. But for the next phrase, your kingdom come, it's that God will reveal himself as the true king, and his rule will come, his rule to rule over all of creation and every creature, that reality. It's not going to come in bits and pieces. It's not talking about the process, but that there will be a time in the future which is absolutely certain, where God will do something, has nothing to do with human beings. Human beings can't make it come quicker, can't slow it down, can't escape it, can't run away from it, that God is going to reveal himself in all of his glory and who he is, and that God will also, your kingdom come, will reveal himself as the true king over all creation and every creature. His kingdom and his rule and his kingly authority will come over all creation and every creature, and it is absolutely certain. You see, that is what Jesus is telling us, is that when we pray to the Father, when we pray to God, that we're to call him Dad, Talked about that last week. I'm going to mention it a little bit in a moment. And we're to talk to him realizing that God will reveal himself in these ways in the future with absolute certainty, and that we are to begin to learn to pray by addressing God, remembering this certainty, and pray to God in the context of his sovereignty and who he is and his character and his coming glory and the fact that it is absolutely, absolutely, absolutely certain. And in fact, actually, it's very, very powerful then. You see, as I talked about last week, that when I started to pray in my private prayers to refer to God no longer as Father but as Dad, and I was having problems with it because I realized that I was using the word Father as a way to keep God abstract and distant. And as I start to pray to God in my private prayers as Dad, it's a closer, more personal, intimate prayer. And so Jesus here is telling us to juxtapose, that's a big word for put together, these two things. On one level, God wants us to speak to him knowing that he is going to provide the means to have us become his adopted child by grace through what Jesus does for us on the cross, and that there can be an intimacy and a closeness and a personal talking to God as Dad. But at the same time that we're talking to the living God as Dad, we're invited to understand that God will reveal himself like a tsunami in terms of who he is and his kingly rule and his kingly authority and his sovereignty over every creature and all creation. And this is just as unavoidable as that tsunami was to the people in the movie The Impossible. Now, some of you might be saying, okay, George, whoa. That's just like a camera, George. Let's just roll back. Let's look a little bit higher. Okay, you know, George, welcoming heart of God and closeness and personal and intimate and using the word Dad. I mean, George, personally, I find the idea of calling God Dad or Father unwelcoming and unhelpful and narrow. So I'm a little bit confused by what you're saying. Well, that's a very, very good question. You know, good questions are great. And just first of all, just remember, I'm not saying this out of my own head. This isn't my personal preference or anything like that. I'm trying to open up the Bible with you, and we're talking about what Jesus says. And remember what it says in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, it says, "And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." And what we're seeing here, remember I say that in the name of God, that God's being revealed. What we're seeing here is that God is revealed as infinitely real, but we're also seeing that he has infinite edges. God is revealed as infinitely real, and he has infinite edges. You see, what I want you to understand here is that there's a huge mistake that's sometimes made by Christians. If anybody says, wow, you know, did you listen to George last week, or did you listen, this week, and he's saying that Jesus said we have to call him Dad, and then some guy pumps his fists up in the air and says, Dad's rock. You know, God is referred to as Dad. I'm a Dad. Dad's rock. Listen, anybody who ever does that, they're completely, utterly, massively misunderstanding what Jesus is saying. It's not that now some human beings can boast and say that Dad's rock. As I tried to explain last week, it's a profound humbling experience that only God can make any human being his child by adoption. And God has to be the one to adopt us. I can't adopt God. God adopts me. Just like a child can't adopt me, only an orphan can be adopted, and I have to adopt an orphan. And this text is actually saying to us, rather than making us proud, it's humbling us and saying that apart from Jesus and what he does for us on the cross, we are orphans. We are orphans in the universe, and that God in his love and mercy looks down upon us, and he adopts us. He provides the means by adoption, and the means of adoption is Jesus' death upon the cross and us coming to him in repentance and faith, and he adopts us as his child. But there's another thing here as well. God is revealed as infinitely real, and he has infinite edges. You know, for many of us, we think of infinity, and we think of maybe like space, especially in Ottawa, if you're looking up at the sky and it's just cloudy or it's dark and you can't really see any stars. And we just sort of think that infinite means blank slate, but it doesn't mean blank slate. Like you know, if you think about it, like numbers are infinite, and in theory at least, you know, we'll forget it for a moment about Einstein and curved space, but it, you know, at least we can sort of imagine that a line can keep going and going and going on forever, and that a line can be infinite. And numbers are infinite, but because they're both infinite, doesn't mean that numbers become lines or lines become numbers. Right? Like you can imagine the color red being infinite, but the color red never becomes a number, or a number the color red, or numbers become red. You see, just because God is revealed as infinite and being infinitely real, and he'll be known like a tsunami, he also has edges. God is not a blank slate. God is angular. He is something, not anything. He is someone, not anything. And if God, in fact, is infinite and we are finite, then we can't get behind the words that God reveals or above the word that God reveals to fix the words. Okay, that sounds a little bit abstract. A very, very concrete example. Like even at a human level, if another person doesn't reveal themselves to us, we can't know them. I don't know if I've mentioned on this show how, I fell in love with my wife when I saw her in the library stacks at Carleton University. And, I tried to figure out a way to meet her and I could never meet her. And so finally one day I just said, next time I see her, I was very shy around women, and the more attractive a woman, the shyer and more tongue-tied I became. And I was very attracted to Louise. And I said, next time I see her, I'm just going to go up and say, hi, my name's George. What's your name? And then literally the day after I'd sort of said that, and I'd been praying about it, I saw Louise and I went up to her and I said, hi, I don't know you. You don't know me, but I've noticed you. I'd like to get to know you a bit. And my name's George. What's your name? Now, if you think about it for a second, what could Louise have done? She could have said, boy, what are you? You're a jerk, or who are you? She could have made a face. She could have walked away. She could have done all sorts of things. It was completely and utterly freely up to her to smile. And only she could smile and say, hi, my name's Louise. And if on a very, very human level, only Louise can reveal herself and give me her name, how much more must the infinite God be the one to reveal himself to us and reveal to us the way that he wants us to address him? We can't get behind that or fix that or force him to do. Only he can do that. And if you think about it, in a sense, to say that Jesus is teaching that the Father will reveal himself as God in all his uniqueness and glory, and that the Father will reveal himself as the true King, and he will rule over all creation and over every creature, that he will do that, and we can't do that. For us, for Christian churches that now go ahead and say that we can call God Mother, it's complete and utter denial of Jesus' teaching on prayer. Like, it's offensive, actually. I don't mean to offend, but it's a deep, deep denial of what Jesus is teaching here in the Gospel of Luke. God is revealed as infinitely real, and he has infinite edges. So Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, this is also pointing to another thing about our identity. Jesus is not only talking here now about who God is, he's also revealing something about our identity. See, if you think about this analogy, if you go back to the movie The Impossible, one of the things that comes out is that people who were on the beach when the tsunami hit, I think they all die. It's only people who are a tiny bit back from the shore, and some of the waves are cut their power by buildings and by trees. But if you're on the beach, you die. If in fact God is going to reveal himself as holy, if God is going to reveal himself in terms of as holy as the King, how can we stand when that happens? How can we stand? And you see, what is being pointed to again is that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die on the cross when he teaches this. And it's revealing to us that we can't stand before God when he reveals himself as holy and he reveals himself to king, unless God does something for us to allow us to stand, so that we become holy in him, so that we become not rebels but citizens. Unless God does something to make us be able to stand before such revelation, we cannot stand. And so Jesus is pointing to the fact that on the cross, he is going to be the one by which, by his death on the cross for us, that we can become, that we can go from being who we are to being holy, to being God's precious possession belonging to him, that we can go from being rebels to being citizens and welcoming the true king who comes to liberate and set us free, and that only God can do that, and that God will do that through Jesus' death upon the cross. And our response is to come to him in repentance and humility in faith. You see, Jesus gives me a new identity and a new destiny. I am holy, and I am made, and I am redeemed to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I am made and I am redeemed to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Jesus gives me a new identity and a new destiny. I am holy. Jesus gives me a new identity and a new destiny. I am the king's, the citizen of the true king. And Jesus does that for us. Friends, please listen. Give yourself to Jesus. Submit to him. Learn to pray as he teaches us. Let's pray. Dear God, please grow in me a humble, trusting knowledge of the greatness of Jesus to make me holy and to make me your child by adoption and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, friends, we'd just like to express our thanks to the Upper Room Home Furnishings, 2670 Queensview Drive, Ottawa, for sponsoring today's program. And we all go our way listening to George Beverly Shea sing The Wonder of It All.
The wonder of sunset at evening, the wondrous sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. There's the wonder of springtime and harvest, the stars, the sky, the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is a wonder that has only begun. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves you, just to think that God loves you.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.